You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, September 11th, 2016, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep, and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." So, too, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light the lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Welcome to Kickoff Sunday. The first Sunday of our program year here at St. Thomas is traditionally observed on the Sunday after Labor Day, because vacations are over, school's begun, and folks are all back to work, albeit in a bleary-eyed kind of way. Today, when we also celebrate the return of lots of our sisters and brothers who have been away from the community for all sorts of reasons over the summer. In fact, in some churches, this is called Homecoming Sunday. Now, I really like that. I hope that all of us feel that St. Thomas is our spiritual home, and that however far we may travel or wander, this home is always waiting for us. So how interesting that we come to three parables this morning about wandering and returning, about losing and finding. Now, you may be saying to yourself, "Wait a minute, I was paying attention, and I only heard two parables being read. Where's the third one?" Well, the 15th chapter of Luke that we read from this morning finds Jesus telling three parables to his friends, the religious authorities, who were grumbling that he'd invited tax collectors, sinners, and other outcasts to dinner with him. So, good teacher that he is, instead of lecturing them or pointing the finger at them, he tells them stories. Three of them. The parables of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, which we read a minute ago, and right after those, which our lectionary doesn't include this morning, is the very familiar parable of the prodigal son. And all these parables are certainly about how God values what seems to be lost, reaches out to find and recover what's been lost. Now, if you're anything like me, you've been lost a time or two in your life, and not just when driving from point A to point B. And if you're like me, you've been lost because you wouldn't stop and ask anyone for directions. You know, we men are a little stubborn about that. You know, well, by golly, I'm going to find the way myself. And, you know, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. What I mean by lost, though, is lost as in I'm looking for home and I can't find my way back. Like that lost sheep Jesus was talking about. And I hope you've known the joy, the relief, when you find home or when home finally finds you. It's the relief really of allowing ourselves to be found by God, the relentless God who never forgets us, who never loses us, even though we too often try to hide ourselves away from God. That's certainly what these three stories are about. And there's also something else going on here that I'd like to spend a minute or so on. Think about Jesus' audience for these stories. The religious authorities. The ones who are righteous. The ones who do no wrong, at least as far as they're concerned. The ones, that is to say, who have earned God's favor, or so they believe. Now keep that word earned in mind. So these righteous religious authorities are just scandalized when they find Jesus sharing table fellowship with those who had broken moral laws or those who had broken the purity codes of the time. I don't know about you, but I've fallen off the straight and narrow a time or two in my life and maybe not strictly observed all the ritual purity codes that our culture lays down for us. And so I've been on the wrong end of some pretty serious finger wagging by some pretty self-assured folks. It's not fun. In fact, it can be shaming. The irony here is that the grumbling of the religious authorities is meant to remind us of the grumbling of the people of Israel in the wilderness when they were unhappy with Moses' leadership, and really when they were unhappy with God. Yet even in the face of all of their grumbling, even in the face of all of their acting out, God showed mercy. So fast forward about 1,200 years to Jesus being the object of this grumbling, because he's showing mercy to someone besides the religious authorities, who after all thought they'd earned God's favor, and those others, those sinners, hadn't. So they must have been puzzled and probably offended by the first parable in which Jesus pointedly concludes by saying, "There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." What? Clearly Jesus is pointing to them in all their self-righteousness, in all of their arrogant certainty that they are right and those others, those sinners, are wrong. In the second parable, the righteous persons who need no repentance seem to have disappeared. They seem to have lost their place, in fact. The focus isn't on the transactional nature of repentance, which can sometimes be mistaken for earning God's favor. Instead, the focus is on celebration of God's joy over the ones who have responded to God's mercy. And rejoicing calls for celebration. It calls for a party. The parable invites the righteous to join the party and to give thanks for God's mercy instead of calculating who's earned what. Finally, a brief word about the parable we don't read, but which is very important to Jesus' point. You know, recall in the parable of the prodigal son, the older brother, the one who's pretty unhappy that his father's celebrating the return of his worthless little brother, who's gone off and blown his inheritance on wine, women, and song. "I've been a good and dutiful son," he says self-righteously to his father. "I've followed all the rules, and you've never thrown a party for me." And his father tenderly replies, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. We had to throw a party. Because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." You know, I've heard it said that we too often want mercy for ourselves and justice for others. I hate to confess that this is a thought not unknown to me. There have been plenty of times that I've been secretly thankful that God doesn't give me what I so clearly deserve, while at the same time looking at those others and hoping that they get what I think they deserve. And I'll bet I'm not the only one. But Jesus tells these parables to call us to celebrate with God because God has been merciful not only to us, but to the other, to those sinners, the ones we wouldn't have invited to sit around the table with us. This is such an important word for us in these anxious and divisive times, in these times when it feels like we as a nation are being pulled apart by fear and pulled apart by rejection of the other, pulled apart by just sitting in our own little corners and thinking that no one else is right, no one else has a valid perspective on anything. We are being pulled apart by that. But Jesus has prepared the table for all of us, and he invites us all to the feast, every one of us. You know, too often I think we think of ourselves as the 99. We think of ourselves as the righteous ones who need no repentance. And we secretly wonder why God wastes his time on searching for that other sheep. You know, the sheep that doesn't agree with me. But I'm here to tell you that we aren't complete. We aren't whole without the very ones we don't approve of. We are only 99. If we live in self-satisfaction, if we live believing our own press clippings, believing that we alone are right and righteous and beloved by God, we may be surprised. We may be really surprised to find that God is off somewhere else, looking for that one lost sheep, looking for that one least sheep, looking for that sinful sheep, looking for that sheep that, by golly, doesn't agree with me. And here's an irony for you. It seems that God is the God of the 1%, and we, the 99, aren't complete without that 1%. We need each other, even the ones we don't agree with. The truth of the matter is, of course, that at various times in our lives, we have each one of us been that lost sheep, lost and longing to be found by God. And at various times in our lives, we have also been among the 99, certain that we're favored, certain that we have it all figured out, certain that we are right. Thank God that God has mercy on us both when we're lost and even when we think we're not. And God calls us all home. So on this day, welcome home to all of us. God has called us home today right here at St. Thomas, in worship, in study, in prayer, and in service. This is one place where we'll find our true home, a place where we might know God's acceptance, a place where we might know God's mercy. We just have to embrace it. We just have to fall into it. We just have to show up. We just have to jump in and participate. So welcome home to a new program year. Welcome home to St. Thomas. Let's get this party started. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.